Okay.
Attention. Attention. Mid-afternoon news. The horror of nuclear war hovers more heavily over the world. According to U.S. State Department, the BBC Foreign Advisor, Foreign Ministry Staff, than at any time in history. This afternoon, the Chinese have accused the Soviet Union of acting as provocateurs in the USSR Vietnamese-Chinese conflict. China has accused the Soviet Union of intensifying efforts to destroy China. Strange line of reasoning. They're supposed to be doing this by backing the Vietnamese in their defense against Chinese aggression. There's been stirred up over 110,000 Chinese corrupt business people that China is taking back in to the so-called socialist economy. These business people were involved with high crimes against the people in Vietnam. The Vietnamese have rushed their major divisions and military support to the Chinese-Vietnamese border. More of concern to the United States State Department and the British Foreign Ministry is the buildup of the Soviet Union on the border of the People's Republic of Mongolia, an Asiatic nation that is very, very close ally of the Soviet Union, the vanguard of Marxist-Leninist liberation and all people's liberation struggles throughout Africa. The buildup is being headed by the Chief of the Army General Staff and all of his top delegates from the military mission. It is a very difficult and ominous situation. China says that nuclear war is as certain as the setting of the sun. China said that the USSR is attempting to provoke nuclear war. One gets the feeling in looking at the news that it is China indeed that wants to provoke nuclear war. And they're trying to drag USA into it. The State Department Secretary Vance said that the big powers are now all involved in the conflict, but did not elaborate. It's been China's policy for years that nuclear war was going to take place sooner or later. And it's now evident that China is trying to provoke that nuclear war because she stands to have more people survive it in the Northern Hemisphere than any other nation. The United States will be completely wiped out. No one will be left alive worth living at all. They feel that the Soviet Union has much less population, and that China has a billion population. If they lose one half, they'll still have 500 million, more than the USA and USSR's combined population today. UN Commander Erskine is outraged at Israeli's actions. After the Zionist State of Israel had agreed to withdraw its forces from Lebanon, in 3 days, it has breached its promise, broken its word, and stated that it will not turn over its occupied territory in South Lebanon to the United Nations, but instead will give it to a Christian fascist militia stationed in South Lebanon. This is ominous news, according to Commander Erskine of the United Nations Forces, and will only lead to inevitable war conflict in the Near East. France and Belgium, USA, CIA, are training elite mercenaries from USA and the Legionnaires, along with 15,000 troops that are being specially paid and privileged to protect Zaire from its own people who desire to liberate it. Behind the Zaire war is a cobalt shortage. The invasion of Zaire by USA shows how much of a degree the U.S. dependence on fragile third world governments for key minerals and other basic resources actually are, said the Washington Post. There has been concern in the West over recent reports of massive Soviet cobalt purchases and reportedly that the Soviets have in Zaire's mineral-rich Shaba province. And thus, that was the reason that rebel activity was curtailed by the rebel, the reactionary U.S. imperialist forces and its renegades, which even now includes China, who's trying to provoke World War III, a nightmare for our people in the United States, in which the living would envy the dead. State Department officials said there was no relations between the two developments, noting that Western companies, including American firms, also were buying cobalt in anticipation of higher prices. But this was stated to be a bald-faced lie, according to the Washington Post. The episode emphasized the degree, said the Washington Post, to which economic problems, United States, and political turmoils in the third world nations, such as Zaire, source for over half of the U.S. imports of cobalt, have a direct effect on the American industrial machinery. And according to the Washington Post, it is that reason that the United States has expanded its military aggression into Zaire and crushed the liberation efforts of the people, are attempting to crush them, because they're still going on. The United States imports 97% of its cobalt, which it used to make super alloy metals in the manufacture of magnets. USA only has a 3% supply of cobalt that it needs for its industrial maintenance. The economy would break, according to the Washington Post, if USA was not able to milk the cobalt from Zaire. Cobalt is included in a list of 18 key minerals and other basic materials which the United States must import, or its economy would go crushing down to destruction, and there would be absolute unemployment, absolute. No one would have jobs. The other 16 are percentages of dependencies and main foreign sources in parentheses. Natural rubber, United States has to import 100%. From Indonesia and Malaya, Abaca, Armenilla hemp, 100%. Philippines and Ecuador, industrial diamonds, 100%. South Africa and Zaire, bauxite, 99%. Jamaica and Suriname. As USA has been boycotting Guyana because of its socialist nature of its government, little bauxite is bought from Guyana. Manganese ore, 98%, from Brazil and Gabon, G-A-B-O-N. Bismuth, 97%. Sources not indicated. U.S. government suppresses that for some reason or other. Chromium, and ferrochromium, 89%, from South Africa. The dread apartheid concentration camp environment that has been set up by USA and our tax dollars. The Soviet Union also has the greatest supply of chromium and ferrochromium outside of South Africa. USA depends upon its imports from Rhodesia, where it supports the fascist white regime of Ian Smith and Voorster's regime in South Africa for 89% of all of its chromium and ferrochromium. 86% USA has to import. Could not survive as an economy without doing that. 86% of all of its needs from Malaya and Thailand and Bolivia. Asbestos, 85% from Canada. Fluorspar, 80%. Sources not indicated. Nickel, 70% from Canada. Zinc, 58% from Canada. Mercury, 57%. Again, USA will not reveal the sources. Antimony metal and ore, 52% from the dread fascist state of apartheid South Africa. Cadmium, C-A-D-M-I-U-M, 52%. Also, sources will not be indicated. They're suppressed and not allowed to be printed by USA. Iron and iron ore, 53%, mostly from Venezuela and Brazil. In terms of its effect on U.S. foreign trade, the most dramatic case of American economic dependence on foreign sources is petroleum. The United States is now importing 52% of all of its oil. According to a new State Department report on the trade debate, the value of U.S. oil imports has risen from $4 billion in 1972 to $62 billion in 1977. Saudi Arabia and Nigeria are the nation's main oil sources, and USA is having some difficulty appeasing Nigeria because Nigeria is grossly unhappy over Carter's policies when he visited there trying to meet with bankers, and they're more appalled recently with his developments of backing the aggressive Mobutu dictatorship of Zaire. Meanwhile, 11 countries, international bankers, monopoly capitalists of the Trilateral Commission are holding an emergency meeting in Brussels, Belgium. It was called an economic emergency. Now it's an economic disaster, a crisis that must be discussed immediately. So top-level discussion is called from 11 leading capitalist countries, and the leading controlling elements of the Trilateral Commission to do something about Zaire, because it is a regime not represented by the people, by the admission of the London Times. Top CIA agent said USA has planned for several years. As he resigned, they have planned for several years to take over Zaire, and had also planned since 1975 a reinvasion of Angola, as Senator Dick Clark went public and revealed that the head of the CIA, Admiral Turner, came to him about. Large-scale military advance by Ethiopia into Eritrea, as the Chinese and USA imperialists again try to disrupt peace of Eritrea, a province of Ethiopia. A concentrated effort this time, according to Radio BBC, appears to have the strength to be able to reclaim all the outposts of the rebel forces backed by USA imperialism in Eritrea. Valencia prison in Spain. The prisoners have rioted, taken over police garrisons, and are holding the prison at this present time. This is the third such riot successful in Spain, two successful riots in France, as the political atmosphere is becoming much more aware and people are becoming much more sensitized to moral, social, and political issues in Spain and France. Santa Rita, future concentration camp site for Senate Bill 1437, is being remodeled and reactivated totally. According to many reporters, it's estimated that it could now accommodate 200,000 people. No one gives any explanation as to why the Santa Rita facility is being reopened. But it was under the old plan, the Smith Act, there for concentration camp purposes. And now with Senate Bill 1437, there'll be more need. The Philippines seem to be drawing closer in economic ties to the Soviets. The Soviets demanded that the Philippines free all of its political detainees, and this was done. All detainees from the last pseudo-elections will be released. Pakistan hearing on the death appeal of Prime Minister Bhutto suffered further delays because the Chief Justice needed to attend a vacation conference in Indonesia. It is not at this time stated whether he will get back in time to be able to avert the death of this popular prime minister. There is no security in capitalism. Bhutto served capitalism well, as the five bankers did dictator Fernando Marcos, his richest capitalist millionaire supporters. But the contradictions and competitiveness and conflict between capitalists always ends up that one kills another. Now there's even a more dreaded capitalist form of government in Pakistan, and Bhutto lays in a cold, damp cell without even bed clothing or pajamas, waiting his death sentence. Prime Minister, a few months ago, one of the wealthy families of Pakistan, demoted to a cold cell, waiting the hangman's noose in a matter of weeks and months. There's no security outside of socialism. Why don't we recognize this? Security that Father has given, standing as a sentinel on the citadel. When people have come to take anyone away, he said, no, they shall not be moved. Let my people go, and always the jails have done so, and the police have done so. His family, his power, were 1,000 strong to guarantee you medical care and food resources. The greatest guarantee we have. Division from within is the only thing that can ever hurt us. Why anyone would ever think of going back to USA is beyond our imagination. When right now, all you have to do is turn on your radio and hear how much war talk there is of nuclear annihilation that would turn all U.S. cities into flaming dust bowls. The new attack, now that People's Temple is being set aside for a few days, and the Panthers, though another charge is being pressed against Huey Newton, last week it was, and Synanon has been attacked mercilessly. Now the attack again is focusing on Scientology. The reason for this, according to U.S. UPI source that prefers to remain anonymous, is because Scientology has revealed how high the Nazi influence goes in the police work of the USA, USA Customs, Treasury Department, and the police of the entire world. So, the new attack. I'll give you some detail of it. The author versus Scientology. One that should make one's heart strings pulled if they did not know the utter lies, the terrible smears that the arm of monopoly capitalism, its willing servant, the U.S. newspapers, will do. In the fall of 1971, author Paulette Cooper came out with a book called The Scandal of Scientology. And then, according to her lawyers, friends, family, and lawyers, the following things happened to her. She received repeated telephone calls from anonymous people who threatened to kill her. Letters were posted on her neighbors' doors telling them she had venereal disease and should be evicted from her apartment. Her publisher was sued and harassed to the point that he withdrew the book from circulation. The Church of Scientology sued her in New York, Los Angeles, Detroit, England, Scotland, Australia, Ontario, and British Columbia, each time charging that her book had defrauded and defamed the church. There's something to be said for suits. I wish we could think about that. Our lawyers here feel the same. Sometimes lawyers in USA don't want to be caught taking on the outrageous liars, publishers, and press. In New York City, Scientologists claimed that they had a bomb threat, and the federal government subsequently indicted the author for sending the threat. Then the government charged her with perjury for denying it. Now, according to informed sources, federal agents have found evidence. Informed sources means nothing, absolutely nothing. Federal agents have found evidence in seized church records that indicates Scientologists framed Cooper by stealing her stationery and sending themselves the bomb threat. Now, you know, a federal government is not going to make an indictment based on something like this. A church spokesman denied last week that Scientologists were involved in any way with such scheme. Said he, it's totally ridiculous and typical of outrageous false statements that some people feel led to pass on regarding the church. I imagine that was the weakest of his quotes, typical of the press again, to put out the weak quotes, said Greg Layton, the church spokesman for Scientology. Same name as our dear Layton's here, L-A-Y-T-O-N. Cooper was reported to be traveling in Europe and could not be reached for comment. Her attorneys, family, and friends, however, painted a horror picture of a woman locked for years in an almost hopeless struggle against an organization that seemed bent on intimidating and killing her. She was left severely depressed and in need of psychiatric treatment, according to these sources. No one's mentioned. They, the Church of Scientology, did a lot to destroy this girl's life, said her attorneys in Los Angeles, Virgil Roberts. When Cooper was subpoenaed to appear before a federal grand jury in New York, not long after her book was published, she was excited because she thought she was going to testify against the Scientologists, who are hated now because of their activities to reveal Nazi activity. Interpol, control of Interpol, Nazis, control Interpol, FBI, Customs, Treasury Department. A member of her family recalled Friday, when she found out what it was all about, she couldn't believe it. Federal investigators informed her that the Scientologist had received a bomb threat, apparently on her stationery, with her fingerprints on it. A family friend, who says she has a copy of the note, said that the threat is typed, a few lines long, includes a comment that this operation hurts. Cooper had recently had a surgical operation. She said it looked like a maniac wrote it, one of her lawyers said. I doubt it. The federal government would be too happy to prosecute the Scientologist for all they reveal about corruption in high places. When Cooper denied writing it, prosecutors accused her of lying, and the government charged her with perjury. She underwent injections of sodium pentothal, truth serum, and was questioned at length, according to the family and friends, and prosecutors eventually were forced to drop the charges. Federal prosecutors would have been too happy to have prosecuted the Scientologist, not her. Afterward, according to family and friends, Cooper wondered how some of her stationery might have disappeared from her apartment. She concluded, according to these sources, that the stationery disappeared when a woman came to her door, supposedly to solicit signatures for a petition in support of a grape boycott, and Cooper invited the woman in. She does not know how she got to the stationery, but the stationery was in her desk. Well, makes nice. Makes nice story. Makes nice copy. Makes great fear tactics against Scientologists. Cooper sued once in April 1972, accusing the Church of Scientology of intentional interference with her constitutional freedom of speech and press. She charged that representatives of the church had intimidated prospective publishers of her books and had subjected her to obscene telephone calls, threats, and electronic surveillances. She asked for $15.5 million in damages. Sounds like the goddamn Medlocks that Stone has gotten to lie. Put us under a $18 million suit. Don't worry, they won't get it. Each time newspapers wrote a story about her court battles, Cooper received anonymous telephone calls threatening her life. Threatening her life, one of her lawyers said. The caller said things like, "We're going to push you under a subway car when we catch you at the station. And we're going to give you the 44 treatment," according to Paul D. Reingold, one of Cooper's New York lawyers. Cooper, who has a master's degree in psychology, became interested in the Scientologist while a student at Brandeis University in Waltham, Massachusetts, a member of the family said. Her picture looks like a sickly blonde. It looks like that, I can't remember what her name was. Used to come to church. I can't remember what her name is. When she went to the New York City Central Library, however, she found that all references to Scientology had been removed with a sharp instrument. She subsequently met Scientologists and began compiling research from other publications because the Scientologist had cut out all passages referring to their movement in every library in the East Coast that she went to. Well, if they did, bless them for trying to cut away the lies. Except for the New York suit, all others against her have been settled out of court. Attorney Roberts said, Cooper received legal fees and signed a pledge not to publish or ever comment on anything in her book, Roberts said. I'm advising her not to talk about Scientologists at all, said the attorney. That's what it helps to put people on the goddamn defensive. Let's think about this, our attorneys and our staff here. A $15.5 million suit in New York City is pending, Reingold said, and Cooper is eager to move forward on it in light of the new evidence about the bomb threat. Has so conveniently come forward now, since the FBI invaded all the churches of Scientology and took away their records. Cooper relied on her family for support during the years following publication of the scandal of Scientology, and the family incurred legal debts of around $35,000 while battling the criminal charges, according to a family member. Poor, poor people. Paulette was an unusual person in that the harassment nearly destroyed her, but rather than stop, it made her fight back with her limited means, even when she was hospitalized. Yes, I'm sure. She looked, her long blonde hair straggling down, clear to her navel. She looks like a poor, mistreated, dear little thing. I would have given up, and I consider myself a strong person, said Reingold. Harry Shorten, publisher of Tower Publications Incorporated, said he had no idea the publication of the scandal of Scientology would bring the response it did. They sued us several times, he said. It hurt us very, very badly,
Every time I turned around, there were letters from Scientology. See, he said it hurt us very, very badly. Shorten said he guessed he printed about $50,000 of the books all in paperback and withdrew them long before the normal marketing deadline to avoid further suits. He said he could not say, without great research, how many copies did sell, but only estimated a few hundred. It pays to resist, even though, in the long run, the fascist system will win, and it's getting worse daily. This is a little bit more of the news. Let us evaluate the news and study it well. As we do, we can avoid less tests. If I look around and see you studying, then that will confirm my mind that you have some interest. And I do want to see interest shown in the news. Let's be studying the tapes under the library. Tonight, we want to study Z, because it's going to be an in-depth study of Z, a whole test on Z. Let's study it closely and interpret it carefully between its lines. We have a moderator do so, perhaps Professor Chop, whoever has the available time can do that in the manner that I interpreted it, because it lends itself to great interpretation, frightening interpretation. Why anyone would want to go to USA with nuclear war hanging over, just like a sword of Damocles? Concentration camps ready to be opened in the same manner as you saw in Z. That's how crazy fascism goes when it takes over. That's how crazy it is. So let us look at Z in one film of the Soviets for review and testing. Scaffold accident was no accident. Capitalism kills. In Willow Island, West Virginia, on the morning of the 27th of May, the system of monopoly capitalism killed 71 construction workers who plunged 170 feet to their deaths when the scaffolding on a high tower construction job they were working on gave way. No one at Research Council Incorporated, the contracting company for the project, ordered these men to be killed. No official of the Allegheny Power Company, the monopoly capitalist corporation which had ordered the 665 million plant to be built, gave instructions to have these workers murdered, struck down. But it is these companies who are just as much responsible for murdering the 71 workers as if they had deliberately tipped over the scaffolding from which the men were hurtled to their very doom. In the long annals of capitalism's industrial exploits, the massacre of these 71 construction workers will probably be listed as one more tragic accident. The dead men will thus take their places with the unnumbered and unnamed dead who have been sacrificed for bourgeoisie profit. Editorial writers in the capitalist press will sigh sanctimoniously over the unforeseeable hazards of dangerous occupations, while being careful to note that the conceitedly high risks taken by the workers were accompanied by bonus pay. The sorrow of the grieving families having been duly noted, thus demonstrating the humane sensitivity of all concerned, so-called. The companies involved will go back to their business of pursuing profit, with no regard for the lives of those who produce the profit for them. After all, there are plenty more workers where the dead men came from, but there's only one Allegheny Power Company. The evidence pointing to the criminal responsibility of the companies involved is overwhelming. Concrete poured late in the afternoon of the day before the accident had not been hardened sufficiently due to the low temperatures. This was a condition well known to the contractor on the job that led to the lives being lost of 71 family men, fathers of children. So why were these men ordered up the tower the next day? Because the first law of capitalism is that production comes first. This is not a moral inscription. So far as the contractor was concerned, its fee would be the same, no matter how long it took to finish the job or how much it cost. Actually, in most such jobs, the contractor gets a bonus for finishing earlier and pays a penalty. It would be instructive was in the contract between